It's absurd today. Absurd. Drink plenty of water if there happens to be some scotch in it.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Hi, happy Monday, happy Monday. I have cast my vote. That's all I'm going to say about it. There was some writing in. Yeah. There was some none of the aboves. There was a couple of different things. Anyway, but it was interesting. I got the job done. Okay, and we have information on this crazy campaign thing, this people that had to reveal who they were, but they didn't really have to reveal who they were. We'll get to that in a minute on calcoastnews.com because we got the story right here. Now, here's the thing I want to tell you about. Westways Magazine, which is put out by the Auto Club, you know. They send you a magazine every month, and it's about California always, because it's Southern California, actually. Well, about California, I guess. Because that's the Auto Club is California. So here's the deal. So they had a little article in November issue that said, you know, quick escape to San Luis Obispo. And they, you know, talked about all the places in San Luis you can go and all that. And then they mentioned three places to go to eat, one of which was Smokin' Moe's Smokehouse Barbecue. Smokin' Moe's Barbecue is a barbecue you're going to love every time you put it in your mouth. Filthy Phil's Ribs, Sweet Carolina Pork Ribs, Barbecued Rib Combo, Barbecued Half Chicken, Barbecue Sampler, and Moe's Chipotle Lime Tacos are just a few of the things that are just absolutely wonderful at Moe's Smokehouse Barbecue. Plus, of course, they have all the other great things, like they got burgers, they got cheeseburgers, they got Moe Burgers, Carolina Burgers, Barbecue Chicken Breast and Carolina Chicken, California Chicken and Garden Burgers, not to mention shredded pork, shredded chicken, shredded beef, tri-tip sandwiches, and they also have, of course, salads too. They have a barbecue chopped chicken salad, Caesar salad, tri-tip salad, Calypso salad, Moe's Cobb salad, and a green salad. So you can eat one of each of those. And then don't forget the homemade sides. They have Moe's homemade sides, the homemade potato chips, killer garlic fries, sweet potato fries, seasoned fries, beer battered onion rings, fried green tomatoes, Grandpa Tom's barbecue beans, pantry coleslaw, potato salad, three corn muffins with honey butter, garlic bread. And they also have a children's menu, and they also have dessert too. So you cannot go wrong when you go to Moe's. Go to Moe's on the corner of Osos and Monterey. Go to Moe's on Pomeroy and Pismo Beach, and you'll be asking for Moe Barbecue, please.
Did you know that MRI technology changes as rapidly as computers or cell phones? San Luis Diagnostic Center is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art medical technology so patients on the Central Coast have the best medical care available. That's why they just replaced their MRI scanner with a Siemens Skyra, the new gold standard in MR imaging. This 3-Tesla MRI is the only one of its kind in California, and there are only two others in the United States. This system has 8 times the resolution of other MRIs, giving your doctor the most accurate high-resolution images in history. Plus, it's 5 times faster, getting you in and out as quickly as possible. It's also the most open MRI in existence and virtually eliminates claustrophobia. You have a choice when it comes to where you get an MRI. Tell your doctor you want the best MRI technology available. Choose the fastest, most advanced MRI made only at San Luis Diagnostic Center.
Most insurance is accepted, whatever they say. All right, get a San Luis Diagnostic. Get yourself diagnosed, would you? Let's see. All right, let's do our flashback in history and stuff. According to the Tribune, our highlight in history on November 5th in 1940, President Franklin D. Roosevelt won an unprecedented third term in office as a defeated Republican challenger, Wendell Willkie. On this date in 1605, the gunpowder plot failed as Guy Fawkes was seized before he could blow up the English Parliament. In 1872, suffragette Susan B. Anthony defied the law by attempting to cast a vote for President Ulysses S. Grant. She was convicted by a judge and fined $100, which she never paid the fine. Birthdays. Art Garfunkel, 71 years old. Singer Peter Noon is 65. Actor Sam Rockwell is 44. Rock musician Kevin Jones is 25 today. Let's say happy birthday to them and happy... I think it's Jonas. Wait a minute, let me see if I got to get that wrong. Yeah, Kevin Jonas, not Kevin Jones. Kevin Jonas is, how old I say? 25. Happy birthday to them and to you if it's yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is to Coastal Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
Here's some news, another action-filled adventure from CalcosNews.com. News you can use on a Monday. All right, we have in our news today, the National Conservative Group has been identified as the source of a heretofore anonymous last-minute contribution of $11 million infused into two California initiative campaigns. Compliance from Americans for Job Security in Nevada came only after a rare Sunday order by the California Supreme Court. The announcement was made at 9 this morning by the State Fair Political Practices Commission. The group supports an anti-union ballot measure, Prop 32, and seeks the defeat of Prop 30, Governor Jerry Brown's proposed sales tax hike. According to reports, the disclosure raises more questions than it answers because the group does not have to identify individual donors under federal law. So it doesn't really tell us anything on the whole way around. We already knew what it was for. All right, so that took all the excitement out of that, I'll tell you. That could have been an exciting story, but it wasn't. Let's see what else is going on here. Let's get another story that could be exciting, but might not be. A 32-year-old San Luis Obispo woman. Wait, that's just, it went to the wrong thing. I don't know why it went to here. That doesn't matter, because this is, I don't know how to say his name right, and this really bothers me. Joe, who's a CPA. He wrote an opinion piece, which I'll just summarize for you because I read it this morning. And basically what he said is, what's happened now is you didn't realize it, but this legislature passed Senate Bill 1234, and it was passed in Sacramento, signed by Governor Jerry Brown. He just became aware of it. So it says if you have workers in private businesses with five or more employees have to contribute a mandated 3% of their wages to a government-managed pension plan. So you didn't know this. Okay, so here's the other thing. Your employer needs to know it. He needs to comply with it, and you take out 3% of your pay unless you say, I don't want to have anything to do with it, in which case you have to fill an opt-out form. You know what I'm saying? And then the other thing is, it's not the employer doesn't contribute anything to it. It's just your money going to a fund from the state of California. I'd opt out. It's up to you. You know what I'm saying? But What fund do we have this in good shape? Any? No? Okay. So there's the deal right there. So you can read that opinion piece, though. And like once I say why it went there, I have no idea. But I'm glad I could tell you about it. And we thank Joe for writing it because I can't pronounce his last name. All right. Now let's get to where I thought I was going. A 32-year-old San Luis Obispo woman who was caught burglarizing a unit at the, Sagrado Corazon townhomes on Casa Street beat two residents with a baseball bat on Sunday. About 9 a.m., the residents awoke to find Sandra Lee Welsh in the act of stealing various items, including a laptop computer and an Xbox 360. Welsh then picked up a wooden baseball bat and began striking both residents. They overpowered Welsh and held her until police arrived. The victim suffered minor injuries. Police investigators discovered Welsh was in the process in possession of items from previous burglaries, including several electronics she had stolen from Sierra Vista Regional Medical Center earlier Sunday morning. Hospital staff who had discharged Welsh around 5 a.m. found her hiding in a bathroom. A few hours later, she allegedly took a television set, a DVD player, and several children's videos from the hospital. Welsh was charged with robbery, burglary, assault with a deadly weapon, and booked into San Luis Obispo County Jail with bail set at 30 G's. It's no way to act, especially in somebody else's house that you're robbing. You've got to show some manners. All right, other things in the news. Okay, other things going on in Calcos News. They're there. I just got to get to them. All right, I think we got our tempest in a teapot again, but okay. The chairman of the California Republican Party filed an ethics complaint against Congresswoman Lois Capps that requests an investigation of whether she violated House rules by renting a room to a staff member and failing to report it on financial disclosures and tax returns. I thought we already went through this one. The public record makes clear that Representative Lois Capps failed to disclose to Congress and the IRS a financial transactional relationship with someone who was receiving both campaign and federal dollars, the state Republican Party said in a news release. Chair Tom Del Baccaro sent a letter to the Office of Congressional Ethics requesting the investigation. So it goes on far beyond where it needs to. Okay. Elsewhere in CalCoastNews.com today on this Monday, where it's going to be 92 degrees or some ridiculous thing today, there's other information that I want to tell you about because we have this guy here. This is a slow woman stabbed while protecting her son. A San Luis Obispo woman who tried to stop a man who was allegedly assaulting her son with a knife was stabbed in the hand early Sunday morning. Jose Garcia and Milton Flores were arguing over a civil matter at the Medina Road Apartments when Flores began assaulting Garcia with a knife. Garcia's mother, Maria Tafolta, tried to protect her son, and Flores allegedly stabbed her in the hand. Emergency medical personnel transported her to the hospital where she was treated for her injuries. Neither Garcia nor Flores required medical treatment. Officers arrested Flores for assault with a deadly weapon, booked him into San Luis Obispo County Jail with bail set at 25 big ones. More news to come as it comes on CalCoastNews.com on a Monday. More news is here. Here it is right here. Okay, here was the thing there. Oh, this was a really weird story. If you want to go to CalCoastNews.com, they have a video of this. So you don't know. You know, it's hard to say, a little Cal Poly Dolly, you know? Hard to say. For weeks, sign-spurning council candidates Kevin Rice and Dan Carpenter and mayoral candidate Steve Barash have been disappearing from yards around the city of San Luis Obispo. Earlier today, a local man captured a video of a woman attempting to steal one of Rice's signs. On three separate occasions, Rice and Carpenter's signs have been taken from the corner lot that sits off of Foothill Boulevard where the woman was discovered removing a sign. She claimed she wanted it for her room and that her name was Rice before she ran off. Rice is asking anyone with information of who the potential thief is to call him at 805-602-2616 because here she is. There's a video of her. And she was very obviously, I don't know, you know, maybe if her name was Rice, maybe that's his true deal. Maybe she wanted to have a thing that said Rice. Yeah, eh? I can't tell for sure. Okay. So we'll have to see what else happens with that. It could either be she's just a college kid that wants signs, or it could be she's a schmo. But it seems kind of young to care that much about what's going on in San Luis Obispo politics. You know, most Cal Poly students don't really give a flying. All right. Lastly, we have a terrible situation involving children in the town, and that is, when I get to it, at CalCoastNews.com. While serving a warrant at a home in Grover Beach, deputies discovered a 2-year-old living in deplorable conditions and placed the child with Child Protective Services. The house on the 100 block of Parkview Avenue has been deemed uninhabitable by the county. On Thursday, San Luis Obispo Sheriff's deputies found varying amounts of heroin, methamphetamine, marijuana, prescription pills, and more than 30 used hypodermic needles, along with other items of drug paraphernalia. I would say somebody's a user. Deputies arrested Julie Datter for being under the influence of a controlled substance and willful cruelty to a child. Amado Mendoza, who's 26, for possessing a controlled... Oh, it goes on with a list of names. It's a mile long. Anyway, controlled substance and the danger of the child and the whole thing. But that's what happened there. And that's what's happening on CalCoastNews.com. Right now, it's 12:20, so you're up to the minute.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
All right, here at Bill Beck, I talk to you, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. And because you are with me, that means that you're also with someone who's a special guest today. And I have a special piece. I have music. I have music for it, too. Wait a second. I got to get it. Okay. Julia Ogden is here from Habitat for Humanity. We're going to talk to her in just a sec after we hear this music from Gladys Knight and her Magnificent Pips.
You're just smiling this morning. All of your love is wishing you well. Your tears they just swell. So make yours
Yours a happy home, and guess what? Habitat for Humanity is trying to do just that for people in our area. And Julia Ogden is here with me, the executive director, and we're going to talk about another project that's going on, Habitat for Humanity. It's just a world review about Habitat for Humanity in our county and what it does and what it tries to do and what it hopes to do and all that. Nice to see you, madam.
Nice to see you.
Thanks. And you're in here in the air condition. I'm sure you're glad about that because
much nicer.
I don't know what the heck is that out there.
Yeah.
Okay, we have no global warming, though. Let's solve that problem. Now, we last time we talked, let me try to remember what we did, Habitat for Humanity. You had just built some homes?
Well, we finished the homes on Phillips Lane about a year and a half ago. But we're getting ready to break ground again within the next month on three more homes here in San Luis Obispo.
Well, what did we talk about last time then?
A hike for Habitat.
Oh, the hike. Okay, I'm sorry. There it was. Okay. All right. So, yes, so there's a new homes are going to go in, and they'll be close to fresh water.
Yes, they will be, actually.
Go ahead and tell us where they are.
The houses are on Rockview Place here in San Luis Obispo, right off of Broad, kind of Broad and Orchid behind that shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the houses will be going in.
And actually, you know what, that has become from years ago having nothing there,
mm-hmm.
then except Crystal Springs water.
Right.
Then they built the condos that were adjacent to Crystal Springs,
mm-hmm.
and then still there was nothing there to speak of. And then
right.
all of a sudden they put that shopping center in, and a bunch of housing started to go in the back, and it's
well,
it's turned into quite an area.
We're building right across the street from Crystal Springs.
Oh, you are?
Yes, we are. Okay. If you drive up Rockview Place and look to your right across the street from their facility, you'll see the worst, terrible single bungalow house in existence that we are just about ready to pull down.
There's a few around there, by the way.
Yeah.
Here, I got this. I don't know if this is Crystal Springs, but just say I got your water because it's hot out and I don't want you to dehydrate.
I appreciate
it. I'm
going
to have some. You go ahead and talk. Watch. My lips won't move as she's talking.
there are three houses going up on the property, and we just finished our family selection. The candidates are going to the board tonight for approval, and then they'll get calls tomorrow on the families that are selected. It was a six-month process.
Wow. Can you imagine being one of those people sitting there waiting for that?
Yeah. Are four families and three houses.
Wow.
So it's been that's a tough decision for us to make. We really, really make sure we do our due diligence because it's not something we take lightly. And yes, there's going to be one family tomorrow that's going to get the phone call where I'm saying, I'm sorry, you were not selected. And that's hard. That's very, very hard.
I used to do the Cal Poly cheerleaders, and I had a hard time rejecting some of them.
Yeah.
So imagine you got a whole family. No, seriously, this judging, this yeah. having to be responsible for yes and no's to people's lives, it's hard.
It is hard. And if you looked at any of the families, you would say they're all great candidates. They really are. It's the difference, it really comes down to need and who's the most ready to assume the responsibility of owning a home. Because most of these families come from generations of families that have rented. They've never owned.
Right.
So they don't, it's a real different lifestyle that they're walking into, and they're not going to have a landlord to call up and say, hey, come fix my plumbing. It's their responsibility, and it's a very different dynamic for them. So, we check their financial information. We really do a detailed scrutiny, run their credit reports, do all of that. And some are eliminated right off the bat, bad credit and so on. But
does it matter? Is this one of the parts of the equation? Does it have matter about how many kids they have?
Only from the standpoint that these are three bedroom homes.
Oh, okay.
So, because of the lot size, we had to build houses a certain size. So these are not four bedroom homes. So we looked at families that had two or three children.
Right.
You know.
Interesting. About how long does it take then from the time we have a groundbreaking?
Groundbreaking. The houses have to be done and sold by September 30th. Traditionally, we've worked on Fridays and Saturdays with volunteers. But for the work that we need a licensed contractor for, that work goes on during the week. But we're a little slower than a lot of builders are.
I was going to say, that seems like a reasonable length of time.
One of the houses is going up in 3 weeks. We have the Home Builders Association is partnering with us, and they're doing a blitz build. So, the concrete pad will be there. It'll be ready to go. And in 3 weeks, they will frame and finish a house for a family. That's pretty amazing.
I think the guy that built my house did about like that time. it was supposed to take him 6 months, but I think he got done 3.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's amazing. So that's kind of cool. Now, who's going to do that? Who's going to swarm and do that?
The Home Builders Association.
Really?
Yeah. So they're bringing in all their contractor friends. And from that relationship, we have one company that's coming in to put in granite countertops in all three houses. Another company's coming in to do all the framing, and we're talking to another company that's going to, we hope, provide the roofing materials for all three houses.
Now, is that Leslie Halls that's involved with the Home Builders Association?
I don't know.
I think we work
with Jerry Bunin.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Here's the deal. So now, when people donate, mm-hmm. So this guy says, all right, I'm going to donate the roofing for this project.
Right.
Next time there's a project,
mm-hmm.
do you hit this guy up again, or does somebody else do it? Yeah, what the heck? He was nice
sure.
one time.
You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll do that.
Do you have people that are repeat helpers?
Oh, we do.
That's really nice.
The concrete masons have been with us for a couple of builds, and they provide free labor and sell us the materials at cost, their cost. Harvey's, the huts.
Honey Hut. Yeah,
Honey Huts. Every build.
I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't remember, but do you know who the Masons are?
The individuals?
Yeah, I mean just the name of the company, or is it individuals?
It's a union.
Oh, okay. I see.
It's kind of like the electrician's union has come in and done things for us in the past.
Cool.
So, you know, there are companies, and, you know, right now Cannon and Associates is doing most of, actually, if not all of, the engineering on the plans, you know, for us. That's a huge task to undertake. And in the past, Rick Engineering has done that for us. So.
Because in other communities, you know, people will go and they'll say, we're going to build a house. And the planning department goes, okay.
Yeah.
Here we have to have engineering firms involved and seismic testing and environmental impact reports and everything else in the whole wide world.
Well, and it's interesting because we get government funding. We had to do archaeological surveys on the site to see if there were any kind of, you know, and that, it actually was kind of interesting to do.
I bet it would. Let me ask you, so did you find some stuff?
No, we didn't.
That's interesting because, you know, really, when you consider the Chumash really roamed far and wide in this area, and they used different places all the time for different things, you know, it's not surprising that when people do archaeological assessments that they find stuff. I mean, I'm not talking about like Chinatown, that's obvious, but, you know, just in the middle of nowhere someplace, somebody can build something, the Chumash say, well, you know, we had something there, and sure enough, they find stuff.
And, of course, if we dig anything up in the process, you know, that shuts everything down until we
get it all figured out.
Yeah, get it all figured out. But, no, there was nothing that came back. They don't think it's an archaeologically sensitive site, so, which is nice.
Is it hard? You know, this all of a sudden just occurred to me. They put some new condos also up there on Rocky at the end there. We went up and kind of looked in the windows, if I remember, back when they were building. Is it harder to build on Rockview? Because it's rocky.
This site is a challenge. It really is, and the engineers have been really working hard to make this work. You know, we're going to have a lot of retaining walls. The city has been great. There are a lot of things. The soil is not good either, so you know it's taking some real work to make this happen. And we've changed the plans and went back to the city and they, you know, had them look at what we want to change. And they've said, yeah, that substantially conforms. Go ahead and get us your full package. You know, there's been a lot of negotiation on
this. You know, it's odd too. And I didn't know this. And of course there's, I'm trying to think South Hills. Is that, I'm not sure if that's volcanic rock or not. Anyway, it's rocky.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I just found out the other day, if you live anywhere near any of the peaks, there's this greenish rock that you'll find all around it. Well, it inhibits the plant growth. It doesn't allow as much oxygen in the soil and stuff.
Right.
And having that problem, I plant things and they don't die, but they don't grow. So there'll be this little thing I bought 2 years ago that was a little stem.
Right.
And I couldn't figure this out. I didn't know why that was. And then the other day I came across an article about it, and I thought, well, how fascinating. I had no idea. Okay. Nothing I can do about it now. You know, I'm just going to have little stems around my home. Okay. We don't need big trees or anything. We don't need that stuff. I lucked out because somebody did this for me. When they tore the Chinese silk tree down in front of the mission, they did little plantings. What do they call them? The plantings, graftings, thingies, plantings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got one of those.
Oh.
So I put that in my yard. And the great part is I'll long be dead by the time it rips up everybody's foundations and everything. You know, I won't be around for that.
Well, we have a creek.
We have the bottom of the hill. Oh, you do?
A creek.
Where you are?
Oh, we do.
Oh, be very careful, because as soon as a clod of dirt falls in the creek, they raise Holy Hannah.
Well, we have a lot of things we have to do to maintain that creek. So for the city. The city's outlined it for us. We know exactly what we have to do. So it's quite a process.
And people don't, you know, if people realize when you're driving around San Luis Obispo and you go through some of these neighborhoods, we're really creaky in San Luis Obispo.
Are.
I mean, we have lots of them.
Hilly and creaky.
Hilly and creaky.
And so when we're building, there's always challenges like this.
Right.
There's just no way around that. And it's, you know, and it runs up costs on what we do. This is the first set of houses where we're not building garages on the houses. We're actually building parking at the top of the hill because it's more cost effective and easier to build for us not to do that. And, you know, San Luis Obispo is just great with us. I have no complaints. They work with us. They
That's
want
great.
This affordable housing to come in.
That's
and, you know, they're reasonable. They turn things around quick. We have great conversations with them. And I think it's we're habitat.
Are you guys, of course, you build habitats, but let me ask you a question. Let me go off in another direction just for a second. Mm-hmm. Do you have, we have a lot of multi-use things going in these days, you know, and I don't know why somebody said this. I read an article, but one of the councilmen or something said, well, we've always been interested in that. Well, we may have been interested in it, but we weren't doing it like we are now. I mean, we're really going overboard with it, and that's just fine. Now, when they have low-income housing that's provided in some of these developments, mm-hmm. are you involved in that?
That's the direction we want to go, and that has to do with Habitat overall is changing their mission. So we're moving into community development. So what you're going to see us doing is moving into not moving into, but working in neighborhoods where you may see new construction, but you also may see us going in and rehabilitating existing homes that are owned by low-income families that are starting to fall apart. You're going to see us building community gardens, putting in parks, you know, just doing a lot of different things to totally stabilize low-income neighborhoods. With these developments, you know, it's a good opportunity for us. The one thing we worry about is how our families are going to feel living in these small, affordable homes and neighborhoods that may have much bigger and much nicer homes. You know, there is a little bit of culture shock that goes on for them to begin with. So,
I live a little home. There's lots of big homes. we call it the cottage.
Yes, but you're probably more used to that, you know, then.
Oh, good point. Yeah, you have to remember these people are moving in.
That's
right. And the fact that, again, they're used to mm-hmm. probably very low rental income housing.
Well, you know, we have families who heated their homes with their stoves and whose bathtubs are outside. Yeah. And one of the families that's under consideration right now, there's lead paint peeling off the wall and they have a baby. So you kind of have to put into perspective who these folks are, you know, and what they've lived with.
And as a matter of fact, there was a person in the news today that there was an altercation in this area, but a number of these people are in, people may not realize this, at the end of Madonna Road is a low-income housing
mm-hmm.
for a lot of
yeah.
these people. But you're right. You're right. The contrast between what they're going to have and what they're going to see is
exactly.
going to be dramatic. But I still think, you know, it's their home. I mean, I can't help but feel like they're going to say, you know, this is the cat's meow.
Well, part of what they do, and part of what we do, though, to make sure that they and sort of they bond with their home is the 500 hours of sweat equity they
put in
building their home. They have a sense of pride that a lot of us don't have. You and I might drive down the street and say, oh, I like that house, I'm going to buy it.
Right.
These families are actually putting the walls up and the paint on and the windows in, and that builds a different sense of pride than a lot of people have. You know, they know their houses inside and out. They know how they work. And it's a different dynamic with our families.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to take classes. You know, where they're going to be in budgeting classes and understanding credit classes and understanding their mortgages, because their mortgages are so complex with us, and how to maintain your home.
My guest is Julia Ogden with Habitat for Humanity, and we're going to talk more about what's going on with this ribbon cutting, and we're also going to talk about the Habitat for Humanity outlet store where you can go and buy stuff and help out.
They say America is a land of opportunity, where kids can grow up and become anything they want.
But for some of us, it's not so easy.
Today, one out of every six children in America lives in poverty.
That's almost 13 million of us.
It's almost 13 million of us.
Living below the poverty line.
The poverty line divides us all into those who have
and those who never have enough. Not enough food or medicine.
Or even a place to live. When you live in poverty, every day is hard.
But we don't want a handout. We want a way out.
A way out of poverty for me and my family.
For good.
This is America.
This is America. Together, we can do so much. Will you help?
Nearly 13 million children in America live below the poverty line. You can make a difference in more ways than you know. Go to PovertyUSA.org and get involved. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
All right, you're with Bill Benneke and with Julia Ogden from Habitat for Humanity. We're talking about stuff and things. And interesting, we were talking about, you know, I mentioned that they have an outlet store where they have different items. But you have some other varied items than you might see other people have that have those kind of stores. You have like building items, do you not?
Well, we do.
Wait, I don't have you on. There you go.
There you go. We do. Yes. The stores carry home improvement items. So that could be anything from windows and doors and toilets and appliances. Right. But we also get Miners is very great. And so their mistinted paint, they donate to our restores. So we get new paint all the time from them. We get tile. You know, Home Depot's brought 2 pallets of tile that they were no longer using. So you can get different tile in there. We carry furniture. It's kind of interesting. Our store up in Paso, somebody brought in some videotapes. And now we have this little mini videotape business going where people can come in and buy a videotape for a nickel and or a dime, and they bring it back, and then we resell it again. It's almost like our own little...
That's fun. That's great.
It's an interesting paradigm. It just sort of happened.
That's
really
cool.
Somebody brought in 10 bags of golf clubs. We sold them all. You never know what's coming in the door of the restore.
Wow.
So, it's there... We do make sure we look for high quality items. We test things that come in, the lights, the ceiling fans. You know, we don't they have to be good enough that when you walk out the door, they're going to work.
Right.
So
and they're not. I mean, people need to realize this too, because it doesn't. Who wants to buy something that's dented or screwed up looking, something like that? So none of that stuff sold.
And some of the stuff is brand new. Windows. We got windows from Lowe's recently.
If you want to get dented stuff, though, they have a swap meet on Sunday there at the Sunset.
Yeah.
Because you might like dented stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, but we're not going to have any of that over here at Habitat.
No,
we're
not going to have
it. And that's off of Hank Farm Road. And Julia's office is actually right next door to Eidler Sleep Center, who's advertising with me. So I'd like Julia to go over and buy a new mattress, please. All right, but the store itself, the outlet store, is more to the front on Tank Farm, and can't
across from the Kennedy.
The best thing is go up that little short street.
On the side. You can't actually drive into the parking lot off.
Right, you can't.
You have to kind of go around the back of the building, but it's the green and mint green, or brown and mint green. Store.
Yeah, it's a paint color. This was some of that funny paint that they got from Miners.
We didn't do that.
Now, and let me tell people, if you go to the outlet and you buy something, or you just visit, and then you're going to get to go to Short Street and go to Tank Farm Road, and you're going to make a right-hand turn.
Mm-hmm.
They have built an entire lane for you to turn right into and then merge into the left-hand side. So you don't have to sit there staring at the traffic going by for an hour and a half. You can actually make a right turn and merge over to the left.
That's true.
They've done it again. You know, they just reconfigured that whole intersection at Tank Farm and Broad.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things they've done. They put a right hand turn lane in, and you can actually merge into the straight lane, which I think that's probably a good idea, really.
Well, I saw a lot of people very confused about that this morning, but
They've not done striping and doing everything they have to do as far as making arrows and all that kind of stuff. Because the other big change is you have a right hand turn lane, but if you're coming the other way, you have so you're going northish. You have, instead of only one lane going across the street on Tank Farm, you now have two.
That's right.
So it's interesting what they've done, but I think I'm glad they did it, because that left-hand turn affair trying to turn up Broad Street was just absurd in the afternoon, because that's the way
hard.
I go home.
Oh.
Anyway, so that's, it was pretty bad. So anyway, they're fixing that up. That's good. Another thing, too, to notice, Julie and I, we're doing a around San Luis Obispo. What's going on these days? You might want to look up at some of the traffic signals, because we now have cameras on some of our traffic signals, and I noticed they don't announce it anywhere. They just are there. So be very careful.
Interesting.
Be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the little thing that you see. If you see a little thing that's about 6 inches tall on a pole, that's not it. That's the thing for the fireman to change the signal. But if you see a long pole with a camera on the top of it, that's not there to be friendly, I'm telling you.
Probably not.
No, it's not. All right. Let's talk about, so you're going to have an event with this groundbreaking?
We are on Friday. And the public.
I call it a ribbon cutting, which isn't at all what it is.
It's a groundbreaking ceremony. There you go. On Friday at 1 o'clock on the site, which is at 3212 Rockview Place. Public's invited. We're going to be doing a traditional Habitat groundbreaking event.
What does that mean?
Well, there's going to be a lot of people speaking. Jan Marks is going to be there. Adam Hill's going to be there. You know, the three big funders for the project, Bank of America, Lowe's, and PG&E. And but you also get to meet the families.
Oh, cool.
The families will be there, and we haul out our golden shovel, and they actually dig in the dirt, and it's official. The build has begun.
Now, knowing how they've done things in the past, Board of Supervisors and the City Council, do they have to have a brass plaque on their house?
No.
Oh, that's really cool.
They do not.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, I feel better now.
You know, the county gave us $166,000 for this bill.
Well, then they should be able to have us write their initials in the cement or something.
And the city gave us, you know, a little over $300,000.
Wow,
so,
cool.
You know, I'm okay with them standing up and speaking.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you, too. I think that's fine.
We can't do it without them.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, there are thank yous that go around. But the important thing is the families get to come out and see where their houses are going to be. And, you know, the board of directors gets to meet them. And, you know, because I happen to be one of the only people so far who has met all the families. You know, and the selection committee is going to be there, and it's going to be one big love fest, and we'll give you cookies.
Cool. And what time is it again?
1 to 3.
1 to 3 on
Rockview Place.
On Friday.
On Friday.
1 to 3 on Friday.
This
okay.
Friday.
1 to 3 on Friday.
Yeah.
I get off at 2. I can make it.
Yeah. Come on.
All right.
Over.
Anyway, so what a neat thing that we're doing. And, you know, the other thing, too, that we mentioned before, and I said that I've seen this in Santa Barbara. I've seen this in other communities. I've seen it out in Goleta. When they build low-income housing, and you build it nicely to begin with, you know, you're not doing tenements like they do in the big cities, you know, these projects. The people take a lot of pride in the thing. Of course, like you said, they have a lot of sweat equity in it also, but they take a lot of pride in it. So I know people, we all know people, that how they might react and go, oh, no, we're going to have low-income people here and it's all going to be terrible. And it doesn't turn out that way at all. It really isn't that. It's not that thing. So it's really kind of cool. Anything else going on you want to tell me about?
Well, what else have we got going on? Boy, I have to tell you, there's so much going on in the office right now with this switch to neighborhood revitalization.
Now, tell me about the switch to neighborhood revitalization.
Well, that's the community building thing. We're actually doing an assessment of the entire county and identifying where the low-income neighborhoods are that we should go in and work, what their needs are. We've been working with SLOCOG on this and the county to get the data they have. We're walking the neighborhoods. We're checking things out to see where we can go in and do our best work to build a coalition of organizations and people that will go in and take a look. I mean, it could be everything from neighborhood watch to, you know, graffiti removal to, like I said, a community garden and parks that get built. And
I read something about the fact that there's a redevelopment. The redevelopment thing's gone. But now there's a new thing that's just like the redevelopment thing. And were you involved with redevelopment when it was?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine you were.
We lost $275,000.
Well, now I guess there's something else. They're starting another organization. It's almost like the same thing.
I don't
understand.
They're trying.
No,
we'll try. I'm not sure it's going to make it all the way through the state legislature. The governor's been pretty uniform in the way that he's vetoed things.
However, if his little Prop 30 passes tomorrow, maybe he'll be a smileier guy.
Maybe. Oh, maybe. It would be nice. It's... We lost the $275,000 in Paso. However, that hasn't stopped us. We've gone from building 5 houses that we are starting discussions with the city to build 10 houses on that piece of property.
Really?
Yeah. It's going to be probably about a $1.8 million build. $600,000 of that are fees and permits, so which that $275,000 was going to go to. So we are, you know, you double the amount, you double the houses, you double the amount. So, but we're not letting that stop us, and we're still working with Arroyo Grande to see if we're going to be able to keep that property down there. We're really hoping that we can. But in the meantime, we're going to go down to the Galaxy. It's a development of mobile homes, some of which are in pretty good shape and some of which are not in great shape. So we're reaching out to that community to go in and help clean up and revitalize those mobile homes down there. The county asked us to take a look at it, so we're going to do that.
Cool.
So it's different. It's different than what we've done before.
Yeah.
But I agree with Habitat International that we're going to serve more families and have a greater impact if we start going into whole neighborhoods that are on the border of becoming blighted and see if we can turn that around.
Interesting. And, you know, it was an interesting thing, this redevelopment stuff, too. I'm not buying why they did away with it. You know, it's obviously it was to, you know, get money in the general fund. But it was interesting because some communities were not using redevelopment for what it was supposed to be used for.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it wasn't punitive, and it wasn't, you know, as much as they sort of said, they implied, well, you know, it's not being used right anyway, so we'll just take it back. I mean, right. It was taken because, you know, they needed money. So it's interesting. I hope this other thing will come through. I think it's important.
Well, you know, the one thing that we discovered, there are 49 Habitat affiliates in the state of California.
Really?
And when we started talking to the state legislators, what we discovered is that many of them didn't realize that 20% of the RDA money was going to affordable housing. So we've created an association called Habitat California that is working very hard to stay on the awareness level of the state legislators. As a matter of fact, I'm going up in January to meet all. I'm hoping most of those 49 affiliates will have representatives, and we're going to do a whole day at the state legislature to try to keep their awareness up of what we're doing, because there were 500 Habitat homes. Translate that to 500 families who didn't get homes in the last year.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's huge. That's big.
You know, so we're trying to, we have an office, Habitat California has we have a lobbying firm that represents us in the state legislature when we're not up there and keeps a pulse on what's going on. And, you know, whenever we need to kind of group and go in and do things, that's what we're doing. And I think it's important that we do that. You know, when you think that many of the legislators did not know that 20% of that, you know, of the RDA money went away, you know, was for affordable housing, and it's gone. And then they tried to get it back, and there was no way. You know, there was no way the governor wasn't interested in the possible legislation that went in to try to preserve those dollars. So hit us pretty hard. And you know, I know you're right. There have been some situations where maybe the money wasn't used the best, but that certainly wasn't the case for Habitat.
Well, and the other thing too is what I'm saying is it wasn't cause enough to me, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'll make sure it's my opinion. It wasn't cause enough to me to say, okay, we're just going to do away with the redevelopment agencies. That to me was kind of a bogus thing. You know, California has a lot it has to face, and we know that, and especially now. If you look at the poor governor trying to push Prop 30 the way he is, it's almost comical. But it's a desperation thing. You know, California's really got some problems. And I wish, to tell you the truth, Julie, I wish they'd just acknowledge and direct, you know, the media at what really is the problem, instead of saying, well, we don't really need redevelopment. Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise, why would we have had it?
Well, and this state has a real crisis with affordable housing.
Right.
This county has a real crisis with affordable housing.
Sure.
There's not that much out there. You know, there have been some things that have happened with the economic downturn. People are focusing on homelessness and, you know, multifamily units, apartments for people who are suddenly, you know, in dire straits and need a place to live. Habitat is a little, you know, we don't fit into those. We don't address homelessness, and we don't build apartments. You know, we build homes. And so many times, you know, from a funding standpoint, we're kind of in a unique situation, because we're about home ownership and sort of generational poverty, and not addressing that situational poverty. Somebody's lost a job, they need a place to go. That's not what we do. And so for us, funding sometimes gets a little interesting, because we have to find that right niche, you know, of funding that lets us do what we do.
The thing that I would, you know, you said that, like, you're going to pick between four families for these three houses. But when you have more people than that, though, do you not apply?
There were quite a few more people that applied. And that's what's so tough, you know, is how you narrow it down. And the because of the economic downturn, I would say 2/3 of them didn't make it through the financial review.
Well, here's the other thing, too, that's interesting. They had an article today in the paper about Fresh and Easy in the business section. I think it was today's paper. And talk about Fresh and Easy. And it's a nice little store. But the idea is the fact that, like many other supermarket chains, they mm-hmm. make sure they hire people. The people work less than 40 hours a week, so they don't have to provide them stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a disconnect here also when we say, okay, here's how unemployment's doing, because people will go and take these jobs that are not quote, full-time jobs. They're
right.
part-time jobs.
Right.
Well, it gets them off of the unemployment, mm-hmm. but it underemploys them.
Right.
And so we have, I would say, probably quite a bit of that in San Luis Obispo.
We do. And two of the families that are under consideration, the husband is holding down more than one job.
Right.
He is. And, you know, they're trying to keep mom at home because the kids are so young. But that's tough. You know,
right.
It's really tough. But then when you compare the cost of childcare, it's cheaper to keep mom at home and having dad hold 2-3 jobs than it is to
have childcare.
Yeah. Great. And it's, you know, they're in a tough situation. They mm-hmm. are in an incredibly difficult situation. And, you know, when I hear one of the families say to me, you know, we couldn't even afford a pumpkin for my son for a Halloween. You know, it's like they have to make that choice between, as they pointed out, we eat a lot of black beans. We
right.
buy a lot of canned black. That's
right.
what we live on.
Right.
And so it's a choice between those black beans or a Halloween pumpkin. You know?
We have Friday. We have this groundbreaking ceremony for the new units going into Rockview Place. Just go up Rockview Place and you'll see it, and so you can't miss it. And so that'll be from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
That's correct.
And there'll be all kinds of mucky mucks you can rub elbows with, and there's water close by. And so we invite you to do that. We thank Julia for coming in. Don't forget to use the outlet store on Tank Farm Road if you're looking to get some materials and stuff, and you want to buy something. And we'll talk to you again soon. I hope so.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have I found another song about houses.
Snow, I will make the garden grow. CNN.
Radio.
I'm Bob Green for CNN Opinion. They are not just constant characters on a television screen, these men who run for president. They're not present only to give us something to talk about for months on end. The first President Bush once told me, "What you feel like on certain days is a slow-moving target." For the presidential candidates to reveal that they are vulnerable to hurt would seem to be an admission of weakness. "If I'd had feelings," Richard Nixon told me after leaving the White House, "I probably wouldn't have even survived." The candidates always know, as Barack Obama and Mitt Romney know, that only one person can win a presidential election, and that the loser, no matter how accomplished, will forever be associated with the fact of his defeat. "I didn't like it," Gerald Ford said, speaking about coming in second to Jimmy Carter. "I was sad, but I never let my feelings be reflected publicly. Inwardly, I never let it out. It's not my nature." When I have talked with men who have served as president and who have had to leave office before they wanted to, it has been evident that all their past achievements cannot fully soothe the sting. Jimmy Carter, after losing to Ronald Reagan, told me that Mrs. Carter was even more upset than he was. He said, "I told her, 'Rosalind, we have a good life ahead of us.'" Betty Ford said of her husband, "He told us that there always has to be a winner and there always has to be a loser, and that you shouldn't be in politics if you aren't aware of that. We both felt pretty terrible, but we couldn't change it." Someone will feel that way Tuesday night. They are not just names and moving images on millions of smartphone screens, these people who ask us to make them our president. And one of them, on one November night every 4 years, finds out what it's like to be told by the nationwide hiring committee, "Sorry, we've decided to go with someone else." For CNN Opinion, I'm Bob Green.
Well, it's Tuesday night, if there's no hanging chads and whatnot. Hi, you're with Bill Benneke. This is Talk of Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network on this Monday, 1340 KYMS. It's abnormally hot. We have Indian summer here, but it doesn't extend into November and doesn't get to be 92 degrees. But anyway, life's different now. Life's different now. Matter of fact, we're going to do Calhoun's Cannons here in about 15 minutes, and I'll tell you about her outlook on what's going on. All right. Just because I like how Ann writes. Cannons are people, too. Now, they have this measure B. Now, remember, we had those statistics Friday on, the porn industry has more disease than the gals over there in Nevada. So maybe, I don't know, they're going to measure B, says you got to wear a condom if you're going to do a sex movie. If you're an actor or actress, do they call themselves that? Anyway, the interesting thing is it says it's measure B. Any letter could have followed the word measure and stood for something in this particular case. Okay. Other things are going on. Well, it's the sad news. It's sad. It's worse than sad news. It's tragic news. But let's get this story out first because it's been just beating me up on the head here today because I could not believe it when I read it. A mother took her 2-year-old son to the Pittsburgh Zoo in the enclosure that's 15 feet from where you stand to the bottom of the enclosure that has the wild African dogs. She put her son, who's 2 years old, she stood him on the railing. I don't know, just to see. I don't know if she was going to take his picture. I don't know what she was going to do, but she stood him on the railing, and he fell in. And you can imagine the result of that when you have 11 wild dogs. Okay, I had to get that story out. I don't know what to say. I don't know. Say to yourself, well, nobody's that dumb. Apparently so. Okay, we may have to wait for close races. Dun, 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 dun. All right, and then here was an interesting thing. You know, we talked about our homeless quite a bit here, of course, on KYNS and Calcos News and stuff. And here's in Placerville, they have a homeless haven. They have an actual camping place where they the city said, okay, we're going to try for 3 months. There wasn't any increase in crime. There was any problems. So they said, okay, we're going to extend it. And it's interesting. It's just like an encampment. You know, the people that have nothing. You know, we talk about the people who have nothing that have to live in their vehicles because they have nothing, and they're lucky enough to have a vehicle. Then you have the people that aren't even that lucky. I'm trying to imagine. They're not even that lucky. And when I talk about people living in a vehicle, you can think to yourself an old camper, yeah, but some people just live in a car. Imagine. And then the people that don't have that much, you know, live in a tent, or if they're lucky, have a tent, or just in a creek bed or something similar to that. So here in Placerville, they said, at least, well, here's a place that you can feel that we're designating this place for you. They got a wood stove in there and everything, and a fireplace to keep warm. It's an attempt. This is what I'm telling you about. It's an attempt to me to say to people, okay, we understand that you have nothing, and is there any small thing we can do? I've done it, it'd be huge. What small thing can we do to make your life better? I thought it was worth telling you about. Okay. You may have heard, and it tears at the soul, that there is a storm headed up back in the direction we just had Sandy. And it's not as bad, but it's not good. And one of the big problems we're having, of course, is cold. And Staten Island's having problems getting things done. Relief from Hurricane Sandy's slow for a lot of people. Matter of fact, I have a story about that now for you.
CNN Radio.
A never-ending stream of garbage and dump trucks rolls into the parking lot at Reese Park here in the Rockaways. I'm CNN's Steve Kastenbaum. They dump their loads here. Wrecked sofas, chairs and tables, dressers, television sets, refrigerators, carpeting, bags and bags of waterlogged clothing and food. Everything that made up the households devastated by Sandy's storm surge. Giant front-end loaders are building mountains of debris. Police, sanitation workers, and firefighters are highly visible here. A large multi-agency command center stands at Beach 116th Street, the commercial district in the center of the Rockaways. And that's where I ran into Tracy Morgan. He looks exhausted as he pulls luggage behind him.
Well, I lived on Beach 65th. When I returned, I didn't think it was going to be as rough as it was, but unfortunately, it was a disaster.
Morgan comes from the other side of the Rockaways, where low-income housing projects face the sea, and some families double up in old cramped apartments and former summer bungalows.
I mean, right now what you see me with is everything that I own. Like the two bags that I have right now is basically everything I own that was able to be salvaged.
That's everything?
Everything. It's just a disaster, man.
A better organized relief effort only started reaching his side of the Rockaways this weekend. Further in, I met Lenny Theophil.
I've been here for, 40 years? Never seen anything like this before. The beach met the bay. It was like a river in front of the block.
He was washing away the salt water and mud from his first floor apartment on Beach 60th Street.
You have been the first person, you know, from the media or anything like that, that has been in this area, you know? So, well, I seen the Red Cross van came in. And they didn't have anything on the van, actually. No Band-Aids, nothing, no water. Anything, you know, nothing to help us, just driving through. And, you know, the Red Cross just came. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. No Band-Aids, no nothing. Nothing to help us, to keep us going. No batteries, nothing at all.
Until today, local churches were the only source of food, water, and clothing here. People like Erica Taylor felt like they were on their own.
It's 7 kids that lived in this apartment. This is my daughter's room, this is my other kid's room. It's all destroyed. We have nothing. Clothes is wet. We lost everything. All my important papers. I don't have anything. It's everything. I have nothing but the clothes that's on my back right now.
As she took me through her first floor apartment a block away from the ocean, The waterlogged carpets squished beneath our feet.
I can't do this. I need to get out of here. Like, I need help. I got to get out of here. This is horrible. Do you see my room?
While the National Guard and other agencies started distributing warm meals, water, and clothing in this neighborhood this weekend, New Yorkers who heard about the need took matters into their own hands earlier in the week. They started bringing down carloads of supplies for the residents who lost everything. Despite the devastation, back at the Theophil's house, Lenny's mother, Brenda, said they're going to stay.
We'll be here. We'll be here.
You're not going away?
No, no. I love the boardwalk and go and do my exercise up there. Now I have no boardwalk to walk. That's what I'll miss.
Steve Kastenbaum, CNN, in the Rockaways.
We have, the other thing, too, is, of course, it happened since we've talked, is that as of Friday, the marathon was going to happen, and then they decided to cancel it. And here's what's interesting. Obviously, the reaction to the negative reaction to the marathon that came when the people that organized the marathon had generators that could help dozens of people, you know, and I don't know what they were going to use them for the marathon. What were they going to put signs up or something? I don't know. So they had these generators that nobody else had, you know, that have in desperate times, and water. They had all this water to give to the runners, and people don't have any water. So there was like a clamoring of insanity there. And so they said, okay, we're going to cancel it. Now, here's what's weird, though. Here's what's weird. So the marathon would have been, what, Saturday or Sunday? New York Marathon. Saturday? Anyway, this weekend. So here's the deal, then. So then they had the Giants played Pittsburgh in the Meadowlands, which, you know, that Jersey, you know, that whole area of Jersey got wiped out. But the stadium was okay. So the Dodgers played Freudian slip. The Giants played the Steelers. And the comment was made by a city official, you know, we need to have people have some sense of normalcy. And so that's why it's a good thing. It's a good thing to take people's minds off the bad things for about 3 hours. Why? Well, I guess because they didn't have to use generators and they used Gatorade instead of water. I have no idea what the thinking on that is. Okay, I don't know. Now, here's another thing, and this is, I forget, you know, I think to myself, well, I wear hats often, baseball caps and stuff, but apparently I wear them more than I think, because I have of the full head of hair, I'm very lucky at my age, I have this huge mass of hair for a head, and nothing under it, but they got that, and so I just wanted a haircation to this, it's always kind of longish. So I gave myself a buzz this weekend, and Nancy helped me out with the trimming. So I buzzed my head. So I come in, you know, and I thought, well, some people are going to say, holy dump truck, what happened to your head? People go, I didn't realize you had short hair because you always wear a hat. I go, what do you stuff all that stuff that's hanging out from the side of it? What did you think that was, part of the hat? I go, I didn't think about it. I go, okay. So anyhow, so I'm just, every now and then it feels good. I'd say it takes me back to my boot camp days, and that makes me feel good, but that wouldn't work. That's not true. It wasn't fun at all. But it's not quite that short, just so you know. It's not Marine short, but it's a Navy short. Okay. All right, let's talk about some of these other things. Let's talk about some of these things. We talked about that ball game. Let's talk about, let me do sports just a little bit, just tell you who did what to who. Here was a headline. That's a little bit much here in Sunday's paper. It says, Mustang season hits the skids. Cal Poly was a second game in a row. Yeah, two out of the whole. They've only lost two. That's not the skids, as far as I'm concerned. You know, you look at the NFL. Some of the people haven't won anything. That's the skids. Okay, or maybe won one game. So let's see what else happened. So some of the Mustangs were hurt. There was that Tampa Bay rookie running back. This guy was just amazing. Doug Martin ran for 67-yard touchdown during the Buccaneers' 42-32 win over the Oakland Raiders on Sunday. Martin, a rookie who was born in Oakland, rushed for a franchise record 251 yards. What else happened? There's some other things right here. Andrew Luck threw for a rookie record of 433 yards, a 23-20 win over the Miami Dolphins on Saturday. What's his name? RG3 didn't do so good. Lost again. Oregon, though, beat SC and moved up in the rankings because of that. So those are Ducks. I tell you, they get fired up, those Ducks. Hey, get out there. Those Ducks. other people that are in the news and why they're there. There was an article in the paper today about fewer inmates eligible for jails, transfer to jails. So here's what happens. See, you get the whole idea of this realignment thing, which was weird to begin with, to tell you the truth. But the whole idea of our prison realignment was to say, okay, let's take people that aren't really dangerous and put them into jail instead of keeping them in prison, because what they did, they don't need to be in prison. I mean, it's weird to me because, as far as I'm concerned, if you're locked up, you're locked up, aren't you? Okay. You know, you're locked up. Anyway. But anyway, what's happened now is when you have parole violations and things like that, you go back to prison. You don't go to jail. You go back to prison. And so there's a lot of that going on. And so what's happening is, as fast as they're trying to get rid of people out of prisons, more people are coming in that aren't eligible to go to jails. So I think they're saying that the California realignment thing was not really that doable. We got too many crooks. We got just too many rats around here. Okay. Too many rats, too small a cage. Okay. Other things going on. Well, it was cute. They had a political cartoon. It was a Today's paper. It showed somebody, people walk around a corner. Here it is right here. These two guys will walk around a corner, a guy and a woman. I can't tell by this picture. So Disney took over the Star Wars franchise. What's the worst that can happen? And on a billboard around the thing, on a marquee, it says Darth Vader and the Seven Dwarfs. Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. Okay. Could be interesting. No question about it. Safe candidates still fish for funds. They talk about people like Dianne Feinstein, Kevin McCarthy, and they go, they got nobody's even running against them, but they still try to get some more money because that way they can use it for other things and then guard against future challenges. It always pays to have a coffer. Well, somebody pays to have your coffer, is what it's called. But anyway, and I remember I for some reason, and I've never met, I don't think I've ever met an actor or actress in my entire life. I don't think I ever. But here's the deal. Jeff Goldblum was being harassed for a decade by this woman, so there's a 100-yard restraining order against her. Well, she violated that, and so they arrested her. And so, can you imagine having to put up with that all the time? Some crazy person following you around? Lord. And in Jeff Goldblum's place, it would be chaos.
Fall is here, and now is the time to try a pumpkin latte at Red Dirt Coffee. Red Dirt makes their pumpkin lattes with real pumpkin puree, and they top it off with homemade pumpkin whipped cream. It tastes like pumpkin pie in a cup. Did you know Red Dirt Coffee House now delivers? Call in your order ahead of time, and they will have your order ready for you, or you can have it delivered to your home or office. Red Dirt Coffee offers organic coffees, shade-grown, fair trade, serving only the finest quality coffee. Red Dirt Coffee also serves delicious food items all day long. For breakfast, try their breakfast burrito with Hawaiian sausage or a hula wrap. Lunchtime offers scrumptious sandwiches like the Island Turkey Sandwich with melted provolone cheese on a croissant. Red Dirt Coffee has homemade soups daily too. Red Dirt Coffee is sure to leave you happy with the aloha spirit. Open 7 days a week and until 11 p.m. Monday through Saturdays. Red Dirt Coffee at 1452 East Grand Avenue in Arroyo Grande in the Applebee's Shopping Center. Time now for your community calendar. Attention all surfers and cancer fighters. Join local surfer Bob Vogelin in a benefit for Hearst Cancer Resource Center. Friday and Saturday, November 9th and 10th, paddle out, dinner, auction, and longboard contest. To sign up, go to surfingforhope.com for details. Pours for Purrs. Happening on November 16th, 17th, and 18th, local participating wineries will be donating proceeds to the North County Humane Society. There's a lot of information, and if you want more, go to the website slownchs.org. Get ready for some fun with the Arroyo Grande High School Eagles Robotics Pumpkin Chunkin' happening on Saturday, November 10th from 1 to 4:30 at Tally Vineyards. It's free. Come on out and watch those pumpkins fly through the air. If you want more information, call 441-9870. If you have something happening in your zip code, we want to hear about it. Calendar at RadioCentralCoast.com.
Do desperado. Why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you will hurt you somehow.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest pictures you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
At Idlers, we are a family-owned company, and we love where we live.
We are your neighbors.
We are How'd You Sleep Last Night?
Idlers Sleep Source has the perfect beds for a perfect night's sleep.
Ready for perfect?
Try Sealy, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic.
We have them all and more.
At every price.
Free delivery, free setup, free haul away, every day.
Paso,
San Luis Obispo,
Idlers.net.
Idlers Sleep Source. Best prices guaranteed.
On Thursdays at 106 and 7/8, Talk is Cheap is delighted to bring you Reel to Reel
with your host, Bill Benica,
and the Palm Theater's Jim D.
We spend time chit-chatting about all things movies, with current hits to box office flops.
And, of course, all the great movies for the week at the Palm. Luckily, Jim is very knowledgeable about the industry.
And as luck would have it, I'm pretty knowledgeable about the movie industry.
Jim and Bill on Reel to Reel Thursdays at 106 and 7/8.
We're only in it for the movies.
That's why right there. Hi, you're Bill Benko. This is Talk Is Cheap. This is your Friends and Neighbors Network right here at 1340 KYNS, your news station. So everything's going well. Right now it's 1:35 and 45, and that's where we're at. Oh, we got an extra hour of sleep this weekend, you know? I stayed up way too late. I actually didn't get an extra hour of sleep, but I could have. I went to Paso Robles on Saturday to watch a football game with my nephew, and Paso Robles looked normal. They got funny things going on up there, but it looked okay. What else? Desperado. That was in Linda Ronstadt. Eagles, of course, were the first people to do the song. The very first song I ever heard played on a CD was Desperado by the Eagles. And the parts where they don't really make any noise at all, just quiet. And, I was a disc jockey that had little 45 records, and in those little places where there was silence, there was wheezes, pop, snapple, crackle, and thingy noises. And there was this silence. And I found it the eeriest thing I'd ever heard. Silence. Silence. Anyway, it was pretty cool. Because I was, I don't know why, I was a late bloomer when it came to hearing a CD. I'm not sure why. But I was offered a job at a radio station. They were going to play CDs. I think, I better find out what they're on. Okay, let's see what these do. Okay. Let's find out what else is happening today. We can do the box office as long as we're talking about the box office. Let's find out what happened at the box office. Wreck-It Ralph did $49 million. Flight did $25 million. So many people want to be afraid by the airplane thing because a lot of people are like me. They don't like to fly. Argo, $10 million. The Man with the Iron Fist, $10 million. Taken 2, $6 million. Cloud Atlas, $5 million. Hotel Transylvania, $4 million. Paranormal Activity, $4 million. Here Comes the Boom, $3.6 million. Silent Hill Revelation, $3.3 million. So that's what people decided to see this weekend. I said, I'm going to go see this. Oh, okay. Whatever. Nah. Well, let's see what else I got here to tell you about. As you know, I'm not telling you anything. The gas prices are luckily starting to come down. I've actually seen them below $4 yesterday. Okay. They're only going to go down so far. They'll stop, I'm sure. Free fall would be nice. No, they really have it. Here's what they're saying right now as of about the presidential election tomorrow. They're saying that it's remarkably close. They're saying that they can't predict. They don't. Here's what they say. This is like, Okay. They don't know if it's going to be really close, or somebody's going to walk away with it. Be it Obama or Romney, it's like it could be anything. That's what we already knew about that going in. That's how all elections are. We don't know what it's going to be like. The close election was Bush, and an inconvenient truth. You know what I'm saying? And the inconvenient truth has come to be, has it not? I'd say it kind of has. All right, inconvenient truth. Okay, so right there. Let's do it. In light of that, in light of what I've just said now, I'm going to do, I'm going to get my ducks in a row here, and then I'm going to do Ann's Cannon, Ann Calhoun's Calhoun Cannons. All right? Because we've got some interesting stuff. All right, and then we'll play a story here that I think there's a point to it, but I just don't know what it is. You'll have those. Yeah, you'll have those sometimes. You go, what's that? What is it? Why is this thing here? Go away. Thank you. All right. Let me just get to where I need to be. And then we'll be okay. All right, there we go. All right, here's what Ann wrote today. She said, "It's hard." Here she does a quote from Upton Sinclair. "It's hard to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on his not understanding it." Okay, Congress. The question is New Jersey wet enough for you? It's a fair question for an elected body that's filled with climate deniers, including some of whom are serving, of all things, the Science and Energy Committees. Really, science committees only in America. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, a Democrat, already has an answer. Ditto New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. And so I suspect is Republican New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who originally stumped for climate change derider Mitt Romney. But now Christie's standing next to President Obama and no doubt thanking his lucky stars that Mitt Romney didn't get a chance to defund and privatize FEMA. Well, of all the governors and mayors in America, who better than these guys to start coming up with the answers to that basic question? In the Great Blizzard of 1888, New York was totally paralyzed and decided it had to better put all its utilities and a good chunk of its transportation underground so as not to get caught again by snow. So it dug tunnels and subway tubes and crisscrossed its landscape with water, basically huge underground pipes that are now filled with water. Water, rain, and storm surge from a rising sea level, all of which arrived last week and will continue to arrive with increasing ferocity regularly. Unlike their Washington counterparts, Cuomo and Bloomberg, and I suspect Christie, get it. And now they are finally discussing the obvious. New Jersey has now become our new normal, and we better deal with it. Which is a shocking statement of a fact that a good many conservative Washington polls twittered nervously. The House of Koch brothers as a flimsy carbon burning structure that stays alive only because of our corrupt and corporate election processes. Polls got to dance with them with bottom, and nobody better than big oil and coal. So it's no wonder that so much of Congress is blind, willfully blind, embarrassingly blind, destructively blind, hiding in the closet with their money and their eyes scrunched shut, thinking the storms won't find them there. And out comes the govs and the mayors, like some kind of modern-day Alice in Wonderland, pointing out the obvious. Your house, my house, all of our houses are nothing but a pack of cards they can't hold. The Pentagon figured that out a few years ago. They've been writing white papers for some time detailing exactly how global climate change is severe a national security threat. The Seabees know about pipes and tunnels and sea surges and high ground. They've been looking at the coast of America, and they've been seen for some time now as New Jersey writ large. Ditto for the insurance companies. More quiet Semizat white papers have been making the rounds. Private insurance companies are realizing they cannot cover their bets, cannot afford to keep writing paper like they have been. Too many at-risk properties, too many pre-existing conditions, too many New Jerseys and firestormed Colorados and crop loss Iowas, which means that Americans will soon find that they will no longer be in safe hands, and the fine print in their various insurance policies will start getting smaller, more expensive, and more convoluted until translated into the obvious. So we no longer cover that, whatever it is, and neither does any insurance company in the world. Welcome to Climate Change America. We're pivoting seriously to non-carbon burning energy will be expensive, and while not pivoting, will be even more expensive because one way or the other, Mother Nature will be paid. And the question to Congress, is New Jersey finally wet enough for you?
CNN.
Radio.
Wisconsin is one of a handful of swing states that will decide the presidential election. The state is split almost evenly between Romney and Obama, according to the latest polls. That split mirrors the nation. I'm CNN's Nova Safo. In this battleground state, as the last hours of a long campaign tick away, both candidates made visits over the weekend and focused their attention on turnout, a key factor in the race. They also tried to sway the dwindling few undecided voters. We're in West Alice, Wisconsin, a suburb just 5 miles from downtown Milwaukee. A group of a few thousand people are inside a large building at the state fairgrounds. They're here for a rally supporting Mitt Romney. This applause is not for Romney, though. It's for Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. He's a darling of the Republicans here. The day of the rally is also his birthday. Walker was elected 2 years ago, and he survived a recall campaign over the summer brought on by Democrats and labor unions. They were furious with the governor for stripping Wisconsin's public workers of their collective bargaining rights. Lynn Keller, an accountant from a nearby town, says because of Walker's recall victory, Republicans are now well-positioned to deliver Wisconsin for Mitt Romney.
I think the Democrats really underestimated, and they thought that they'd be able to recall him, and instead they've really revitalized and energized the Republican base.
As Walker took to...
I think I did that myself. I think I interrupted myself. I apologize. All right, so that's what they're saying is Wisconsin, one of the big swing states. Ohio's a big swing state. Yeah, the big, we got the swing states is what we're saying. We got the swing states. All right. Let me tell you about some of the things that have happened here in our world around us as we slept our way through an extra hour of sleep. TV ad dominated spending. Here's the thing that you have to realize about TV ad spending. Okay, you ready? And we've seen, I mean, on a local basis, it's been like, oh, my God. Okay, here's $1.08 billion. I'm just TV advertising. Yowzer. Okay. Now, this now is a new term to me, this Copic Christian thing. Bishop from the Nile Delta was chosen to lead the Copic Orthodox Church on Sunday when a blindfolded altar boy picked his name from a chalice in a ceremony resonated with tradition but marked by anxiety over heightened tensions between Christians and Muslims across Egypt. Bishop Tavardoros became the church's 118th pope after his name was selected from the three finalists of the Mass in St. Mark's Cathedral in Cairo. So they got their own pope. They're Copic Christians. I basically have one. All right. New research shows that people with diabetes and several severe clogged heart arteries. Oh, here's what they were saying. They do a lot better with bypass surgery than stents. They're saying the stent thing doesn't really work that good. A lot of people get rich doing them, but that doesn't make them work good. So that's one of the things they're saying about that. Okay. Other things. Oh, I know what. Okay, I get to that. Here's another thing that's going on. Here was a sad thing that happened in Atlanta. Did you hear about this? A low-flying police helicopter. It was, like, really low-flying, and it snagged a power line and crashed and killed the two guys on board. So they don't know exactly why. How would you know why? Somebody made a mistake, it would seem like. Okay. And then they had the story on CBS News about the guy that had the bionic leg. That was a bionic sneeze, by the way. That was actually artificial. Had a bionic leg, and so he had lost his leg in a motorcycle accident, so they put the bionic leg on. And bionic, we mean this. This is what we mean by his brain controls the leg. Okay, you know, so they climbed up 103 floors of a building in Chicago. Another bionic sneeze. And he succeeded. He said, the leg did its part, I did my part. I kind of like that. Here's the way it is. Okay? There's two of us working on this, and the leg did its part, I did my part. I kind of like that. Anybody else that we need to talk about today? This is Kathleen Parker. Her commentary today was pole dancing with a pair of fine men. Also kind of clever. Kind of clever. All right. We're going to reminisce here for a sec. And we're going to go back to back when things were a little bit better off at the shore in Jersey.
CNN.
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 Radio.
Before this week, for many, the words Jersey Shore conjured up images of the hard-partying MTV reality show stars. But in true reality, the shore has meant many things to many people through the years. Then came Hurricane Sandy, and now what we see are images of decimated boardwalks and washed-out beaches. For David Vigilante, he grew up with the Jersey Shore and knows well what it used to be. He now lives in Atlanta and felt compelled to write a love letter to the shore.
It's like all our memories are gone. That's what my brother said when he called to talk about the devastation Superstorm Sandy wreaked on the Jersey Shore, the summer playground of our youth. The word vacation always conjures up images of the Jersey Shore. It was grid-based towns that went right up to the beach, capped off with boardwalks that stretched for miles. We all knew these towns. We knew which had the best piers with the best rides. We knew that the best sausage and pepper sandwich was at the boardwalk stand in Seaside Heights. We knew that Lucy the Elephant was actually a hotel in Margate, that the places on the Monopoly board really existed. We also knew that the shore meant only the Jersey Shore. Everywhere else was just the beach. But the shore was more than just the beach. It was carnival rides and boardwalks and the remnants of what entertainment looked like in the Victorian era. It was the birthplace of Miss America and the land of Springfield. It was beach towns filled with memories made by generations of families. My grandparents were the first ones in my family who were born in America. And for them, and for every generation in my family, our first encounter with the ocean was at the Jersey Shore. It's a connection that binds generations. I could hang out on the beach and wander around the sights in Cape May, just like my mom did. And the day after senior prom, my brother and our high school friends all went to the Jersey Shore, just like our dad did. And we both agree Our best family vacation ever was in Lavalette in 1977, when he was 12 and I was 10. So many of our friends were there at the same time that we could finally hang out on the boardwalk on our own. I loved it so much, I vowed I would keep forever a t-shirt I got at a boat race we attended that week. And I have. It is now my 9-year-old son's favorite t-shirt and his special connection to the Jersey Shore. The first time I took my wife, she was pregnant with our first child. We arrived when it was dark, and the cool late summer air was damp with ocean spray. I insisted that she walk up to the beach with me. I showed her the boardwalk pier stretching out over the water, with a Ferris wheel and a roller coaster lighting up the night sky over the black ocean. I stood behind her, with my arms wrapped around her shoulders, and sang in a whisper into her ear, "The amusement park rises bold and stark. Kids are huddled on the beach in the mist." I could finally show her that place was real. And that imagery was the imagery of my memories, and my parents' memories, and their parents' memories. And that was my Jersey Shore.
David Vigilante is Senior Vice President of Legal at CNN. To read his article, Jersey Shore, I'll Miss You, and to see pictures, visit the opinion page at CNN.com.
I know I have memories of the Jersey Shore, too. I was waxing dramatic there when all of a sudden I got piped out. Eh? I don't even know what instrument that was. What was that? It was a foghorn, teacher. All right. Here with Bill Benica, as you can tell. Nothing makes any sense. All right. Big news. We have here's a huge story that we should mention today, and that is that Quest awaits decision on accreditation, so the decision won't be made until January. Gil Stork says his opinion was that as they visited this issue, it went very well. Like, it went very well, thank you. So he was like, I'm okay. And we hope he's right. It's going to be hard, though, because if you only, I don't know what kind of accreditation you get if you only have, like, four classes and you're a junior college. I don't know how that works exactly, but it's going to be kind of, it's going to be interesting, I think. That's the way I'm looking at it. Okay, other people are in the news and why they're there. Sidney Poitier was armed with a bridge. You can't beat that. Prime Minister Perry Christie arrived for a rechristening of the Paris Island Bridge. This is in the Bahamas. The bridge, the largest in the island chain east of Florida, will now be known as Sir Sidney Poitier Bridge. He spent much of his childhood in the Bahamas, mostly on sparsely populated Cat Island, and he served as a Bahamian ambassador to Japan and UNESCO, too, by the way. Yanisky. All right. Speaking of Jersey Shore, this was interesting because my grandparents lived in Maine, and you know when you go there, lobsters had to be a certain size and they couldn't be too big. They had to be right in the middle somewhere, but otherwise you'd have to throw them back because the big ones could produce more babies and the little ones weren't big enough. And so, but interesting, in Jersey Shore, they didn't have a restriction on lobsters. We actually went and bought 2 5-pound lobsters. You have to remember, our family was huge. We had bought 2 5-pound lobsters. Well, they just found a lobster that's black on one side and pink on the other, or orange. I guess orange is the color of lobster. It's split right down the middle. One in every 50 million lobsters looks like that, and they're called, well, naturally, they're called splits. All right, we'll say thank you for being a friend. Thanks for being a friend. We'll get together and be friendly tomorrow on Talk is Cheap, the Friends and Neighbors Network. I'll join you at noon. Until then, may your trails be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we... again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you.
So bad, I got a worried mind all the time since I left my baby behind on Blue Bayou. Saving nickels, saving dimes, working till the sun don't shine. Forward.
This is 1340 KYNS, your news station in San Luis Obispo,